And now we are going to have a devotional. Brother Bob Gray has graciously acquiesced to do a devotional for us. And he has entitled it, Angels of Mercy, Living Promises. Angels of Mercy, Living Promises. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Thank you, Brother Dan and Brother Randy, for your words of prayer. You know, I think originally this was supposed to be living the promises. But as we read more and more, we realized that Brother Russell's words about the promises being angels of mercy to us seemed to be appropriate as a key pin or a key word for the whole presentation. We have appreciated being with you. When Brother Dan said that I acquiesced to this, I didn't know I had a choice. Brother Dan, is there a... I could make some suggestions as to who would do this much better, but I guess you'll have to live with this. But I'm very thankful to my beloved helpmate who guides me along the way and didn't get a chance to see the way I spelled Ottawa. My forgiveness is sought, or forgiveness for me is sought by all Canadian brethren, including the government of Canada, for spelling their capital city wrong. I don't know why I keep putting an O in there, but it belongs to A. In my notes, it's correct, but on the screen, it's terrible. All that aside, Brother Ken Rossin and I had a few words of exchange today, and he didn't quite get it out, but I think his intention was to ask me to give their love. And we gave love, I think, from New Brunswick, and if we didn't, we did wrong. Our brethren who meet together, we've inherited some brethren from the Jersey City Ecclesia, and the Shalhous meet with us as well, but the Rossins send their love as well as many others, whose name I will not take the time to mention, because it will take much longer, because they all sent love individually, many of them. Okay. I owe a debt of gratitude to the Chicago Ecclesia and to the foresight of brethren like the Fosses and others who broke away from the society, and eventually, like Brother Morehouse, who brought his family, Sister Violet and his dear wife, away from the society and established what became the Chicago Ecclesia. It's quite a heritage you have in the Chicago Ecclesia, and the trick is to live up to heritages, isn't it? And we trust that you can do that. You can't see this because it's not on the screen, but I'm looking at a picture of my father-in-law on my screensaver. Happens to be standing next to his daughter, which is very nice also to look at, but it's another story. So why am I talking so ramblingly? Well, because this is less stressful in many ways than what I had to deal with this morning. We need the promises. We need them. We need to know them. We need to make them our own. Otherwise, they will just be words. You know, we can't just memorize precious promises. We can't just say, well, I can quote a precious promise. Now, there is a value in that. For example, if someone says to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, give me a promise, I can retrieve some promises. But sometimes it's even better not to just be able to retrieve a promise word for word, but to get the sense of that promise and have that part of our heart and to draw on it. And that's what's important. The words of the scriptures are very nice the way they laid them out in the various translations. But if you don't even know the exact phrasing, so what if you know the point of it? Your heart is there with it. That's important. Now, I will say this. I'd like to have you think in your minds and hearts, what's the most important promise you ever made at any time? Just think a moment. What's the most important promise you ever made? Well, I suspect that many of you, realizing that this is a service in a congregation, that I'm probably talking about your consecration vow, and I am. You may think there are other ones that were on your heart and mind, and those are important also. Theron Hack asked the question today on the way up here. He wanted to know if you could relive a moment. Was it Theron or Alyssa that asked Rebecca? You don't remember? Theron? Yeah. And I thought, you know, there are things that I would like to have done differently. But in this case, I wanted you to remember what promise is most important. And that vow of consecration really is so critical to us. God's response to that promise was to beget us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. This is a very powerful interaction between Jehovah and ourselves that is going to carry us to eternity if we're faithful. A long, long distance where a promise is worked out. Along with that came what is we call the earnest of the inheritance, a surety, a guarantee. And I like to think of the promises as a welcome package. You know how you go someplace and they give you a welcome package? You go to a conference or whatever it is. And that's provided for us in this form of angels of mercy, the precious promises that we can live by. And what's hard about that is really when we desperately need them because we're really stressed out of our minds. Do we just read a promise and all of a sudden everything's better? I don't think so. So, pausing for a moment on what these were, we might think of the promise that God gave and the gift that God gave of Jesus and his sacrifice. So it comes to mind, I would have loved to play it for you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I was typing this and it came out, because he loves. I says, wait, that's wrong. Nice, wait a minute. It's not wrong. Because he loves, I can face today. It's really true. If we can put all those thoughts together and just try to realize that we have a connection with the master of the universe. Now, many of us have promises we live on and live by day, and one of them we'll hear later is one of our favorites. But another one of our favorites is this, and I've used this many times in our chats in the middle of the night when we wake up and we can't get back to sleep and stuff like that. Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. That's important. And we have to believe that. And try to believe it. Because there's so many stresses in our life. You know, maybe someday you'll drop me an email. And you'll tell me what your special promises are that carry you along. You don't have to be too specific. Whatever you want to say. I'd love to hear your favorite choices of scripture. Not all those promises that are in the Bible are in the Treasures Promise booklet. You may have found some that you think are very important and would be helpful to others. As a young man at the age of maybe 17 or 18, I learned from a discourse at the New York Ecclesia, Isaiah 26:3. Some of you know it by heart. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. There's a little story associated with this. John Glenn was about to take off on his flight, and I was listening late at night to a TOP radio station out of Washington, D.C. Is it still there, Brother Earl?
Yes.
Okay. I'm listening to WTOP. And he says, send us a message for John Glenn to take with him in space. Guess what I sent? That scripture. I heard that read by the DJ a couple days later. I don't know if John got it, but... Now, there are promises that are made to the patriarchs. There are promises made by the prophets. There are promises made by Jesus. And these most directly will comfort us, I believe. They're the ones that maybe reach us the most, the ones by Jesus. And then those that are stated by the apostles, we can specifically refer to Peter and Paul and John, who make such references. And there are also promises in the book of Revelation. You're familiar with the ones to the seven churches. And there are other ones where it comes along and says, the Lord will do these certain things to bring down the evil systems. Those are promises also. Now, looking at the promises of the patriarch, probably the first one in the Precious Promise book, and I don't know if you've experienced this, where you say, I'm going to read the promises, and you open it up, and there's the first one. And everybody knows what it is because you probably read that one more than any other one, right? Abram, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. I keep thinking that. So that's a promise that to Abram, but is it a promise to us as members of the church? I mean, it doesn't say, Sherelle, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Does it? Or does it? Well, I think it does. I think it goes beyond just Abram. It goes to those who are Christ's. And if we are Christ's, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It seems to fit, doesn't it? So, Sherelle, you're not alone, wherever you are. I suspect you're in the room. I'm not positive. But there are promises to Isaac and Jacob, and even to the other 12 patriarchs. Did you ever know that the other 12 sons of Jacob are called patriarchs? Stephen calls them patriarchs. Literally uses that word, and he refers to them as patriarchs. And they receive promises too. And so have we. The Lord's people should throughout the age, been able to apply these promises. And some of them went through some terrible experiences that none of us have ever had. Let's say most all of us have never gone through. I can't say none of us. What I wanted to do is to have the young people sing for us something that applies to the last discourse as well as this one. That is, the divine care is there for us, for our hearts, and would help us become entirely free of anxiety. And I'd like them to take us, and you'll hear the song, I won't announce the name, they're singing it, we'll do everything that you need to know. And this preparation by them at the seminars and camps should apply to all of us, and we should apply it in our hearts. Much does that hit our hearts and minds that we can, at least in our hearts, smile. We may not be able to break through some of the difficulties we face in life, but to smile in our hearts, to accept the fact that there are promises. I understand that turning it over has more to do with rolling it over. It's like you're rolling a burden away, and maybe that's the way it should be spoken. Brother Russell suggested that we delve into the promises. What does it mean to delve? To delve really is to dig and to find out what's there. And I suspect what we have to do is to dig into a promise, all the different angles and aspects of how can that apply to me. Turning it over to Jesus is something that we know he is ready to receive. He's there as an advocate. He's there to ever make intercession for the saints. This is legitimate scripture, to turn it over to him. On reprint page 5559, we read, as you do this, that is, delve into the promises more and more, the roots of faith will draw up the nutriments and send those out into our life, and we will grow just as a tree grows, because it's nourished and fed. And thus, we can become established in the faith. We'd like to ask the chorus to sing for us something about our standing on the promises. And where does that come from? What does standing on the promises mean to us? Well, think about this. The rooting of a plant or a tree puts down roots so that it can hold itself firmly. You please come up. Please come. And that is like if we were building a building, what would we do, Brother Harry? We would drive in underground what?
Piles
of foundation. There's a river in New York City, New Jersey area called the Hudson. And right now, if you saw what they were doing, they're laying the foundation for a new bridge. It's been over 40 years that they had the old bridge there, and it was supposed to last 40 years, and we're still driving it. And I wonder from time to time whether we should be. But the bottom line of that story is they're building a new one, and they're putting down these enormous piles, and that's where the foundation is. It's like the roots of the tree that will pull that oak tree or other trees in place, even the sycamine tree, which we'll talk about someday. Sister Janet, at your leisure. So much. Promises were expressed by David as a prophet. And we'd like to have the Garlics, Randy and Winnie, come on up. And use the microphone up here. You have it in your hands? Oh, Sean, take it. Why don't you do it up here? Karen, you can stay seated or come up later if you like when we get to you. But they have a couple of things to read. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to start with Sister Winnie, let her read all these scriptures from Psalm 91 that she has in front of her.
Psalm 91, verses 1 to 11, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways.
Yeah. In Psalms 91 and 1 we read, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This secret place of the Most High, beloved, is the place of intimate communion and fellowship with God through the blessed privilege of prayer and through faith in his precious word, his promised providential care. Oh, how precious is this hiding place. What rest and refreshment we find in the midst of the commotion that is even now bestirring the whole world. Here we find rest, peace, light, and joy, which the world can neither give nor take away. Reprint 178.
Thank you. Now, some of us may remember the singing that was brought forward I think I have to start that again. I think I did something wrong. I forgot to let you get a cue. I'm sorry about that.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
How many of you have actually heard Brother John sing in person? How many? Small number. But I had a vision in my mind of seeing him singing in Atlantic City, and I don't think anywhere else, but that's where I have seen him sing. He used to sing with Brother Russell when they would travel and for the brethren on the trains. So you're hearing a voice of the past, in a sense. I think he did the recording. His voice seems somewhat wobbly, but he did the recording when he was in his 80s, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody could correct me. So anyway, I thought I'd play that for you because it's a favorite of mine. And there's another one, and I'll probably have to spare you that one because it's going in. Unless you really demand it, I won't play it. You can get those on the web. I can tell you where. Just ask me later. Well, one of the things that has been a special promise to Rebecca and myself, and I think to many of you, Sister Karen was mentioning to me when I showed her the slip of paper. You have a mic there? Pass it to Sister Karen. She can just read there. This scripture is very beautiful, and it has several points that are really very special, but I'll let Sister Karen read it and maybe make a comment later.
This is John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. To grow in grace is to grow in favor with the Lord Jesus through an intimate personal acquaintance and fellowship of spirit with him. It implies first a knowledge and recognition on our part with him. Of our redemption through his precious blood and a personal faith in and dependence upon all the promises of the Father made to us through him, and then an intimate communion with him in our daily life of prayer and of observation of his will and obedience to it. If such be our constant attitude of mind and heart, there must be a constant ripening of the fruits of the Spirit, rendering us more and more pleasing and acceptable to our Lord. A sense of the divine acceptance and favor is given to us from day to day in increasing measure. That's from reprint 32:15.
Okay, now when we think of intimate personal acquaintance and fellowship, think of someone that you speak with daily besides the Lord Jesus or God in prayer, but intimate personal acquaintance and fellowship, intimate communion. And yet, here we would have this with the Master of the Universe. It's just overwhelming. But the words, if a man love me, he will keep my words, sounds like you're following the teachings and the guidance of Jesus. This is Jesus' words to the church. And my Father will love him. Not just me, my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. That's amazing. My grandfather, who, by the way, was the first one in the family in the truth back in the 20s, early 20s, asked me one day, who is this a picture of? I says, a picture of Jesus. He says, okay, he says, would you like him to come and live with you? And I said, yes. I was 6 or 7 years old. Way over my head. I didn't know what he meant. But, you know, it was almost like a commitment to want to be associated with the Master of the Universe and his Son. That's where I have my heart's memories and some things like that. Psalm 91 happened to be my grandmother's favorite psalm, and maybe I inherited that love for it, as you all have also, I'm sure. I'd like to turn now to some promises that were mentioned by Paul or Peter. In Hebrews 13, we'd like to have Brother Steve, if you have a microphone there, Steve. Okay, it's coming. And thanks, John. And you'll read us that first part of this segment. Thank you, Brother Steve.
He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Our highest interests are matters of our Father's constant care. God's grace will be sufficient. Man is powerless to harm a hair of our heads unless it is permitted of our Father in heaven for his glory or our highest welfare.
Now, we'd like to have the chorus come up again, and while they're coming up to do this next one, I'd like to just mention a few things. Please come when you can. This is somewhat of a paradox. To be humble and yet bold. This is where this thought is coming from and going to. Humble boldness. How can we have humble boldness? We're being invited to come to the throne. We're being invited to talk to our Heavenly Father. And yet at the same time, we can't come with pride. So there's the humility part. And yet bold enough to do that. Brethren, when you're ready. Setting down, I'm going to let you hear a story. In 1977, Joyce Lagno said, "Don't drive to Buffalo. There are 14-foot snowdrifts." It was for a wedding. We had just been to a wedding of the Shalous the week before. And, you know, what's a 14-foot drift? I never saw one, so how could it exist, right? So we went. We got there. Others didn't. We were thankful we got through. And then the week after that, Bruni and Robin were married, and I think it was Joni and Rebecca and I that drove back from Chicago together, Joni Malik. And I had the wrong kind of tires on the car, so that there were snows, there were radials, and it was mixed together, and it wouldn't hold the road. So 25 miles an hour all the way across Pennsylvania on ice. Mind you, one tractor trailer was off the high end like this, with a nose on the lower water road. Roadway. But you know what got us through that night?
He shall give his angels charge over thee. He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways, to keep thee in all thy ways, to keep thee in all thy ways. In their hands they shall bear.
Tell you where to find you. We should probably re-record them for everybody. But anyway, they're on MP3. You can have them yourselves. Why did I do that? Because to me, it really was something that carried us through the night. Before we draw these thoughts to a conclusion, there are very special promises, and we're not going to read them, but they're in the Revelation. They're given to the churches. But there's also Revelation, I should mean 1 John 3, verses 4 and 5. And they're very special to us as well. And we don't have ample time to go into all of these scriptures. But what we do have is we have a scriptural reading and a quotation from the precious promises, which we ask Brother Mark Diemann to read for us. They're from John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope, this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Comments on this. We know of no point of truth which has greater purifying influence than this one referred to in our text, that blessed hope, the appearing of our glorious Lord. This hope purifieth. He who hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. None but the pure in heart can honestly and truly entertain this hope. Let us, dear brethren, keep well before our minds the Master's promised return. And now, in the time of his parousia, invisible presence, let it have its full weight and influence upon our every word and act, yea, upon our very thoughts. Let the hope that we shall soon experience our resurrection change and be made like our dear Redeemer and see him as he is energize our hearts, loose our lips, and strengthen us for every duty, privilege, and opportunity to serve our Master and the household of faith. From reprint 3193.
Thank you. So it is our hope and our prayer that we can find in the promises sufficient comfort to carry each one of us through whatever minutes or days or years might lie ahead of us. You know, brethren, we only have the very next moment. We might make plans for tomorrow, as we have. We might make plans for next week, which I'm sure many have. We may make plans for next May convention, or for the general convention, or for some other convention, or for school, or for whatever is ahead of us. But we truly have only, every one of us, one moment, and that's the next moment. And we can only rely on the Lord's grace to provide for us and his mercy. When it's abundant, believe me, I know about abundant mercy. It happens to be one of my mana text scriptures. Mercy is God's way of dealing with us. We are his product. We are what he's working on. We might feel bad about not doing a good job in our life, but he knows that. It's his project. He knows how hard it is to do it, but what he's trying to do with us. So we might blame ourselves, we might feel badly, but God knows what to do next with us. So our hope and prayer is that each one of us will seek to extend mercy to others. We have received so much mercy every day. Think of someone to whom you and I should be extending real mercy to. Like the blind person who you just got bumped into by. Because everybody's blind. To the prisoner, because all of us in one way or another are prisoners. You know the other possible examples. We want to see others the way we'd like to be seen. And do all in our power to change ourselves to that end. And the promises can help us. Because as we draw on promises for ourselves, we have to recognize our brother, our sister, everyone else can draw on those promises too. So how can we help Jehovah in the area of fulfilling the mercy, the love, the generosity, the compassion, the comfort, all those things? May we work to that end. May we realize that the reality of our promise to our Heavenly Father, that most important promise we've ever made, to do His will, may we realize that more and more each day. And this new year is a great time to start. Jesus expressed it this way, that we love one another as He loved us. That we love one another as He loved us. I was telling someone recently about a situation where somebody that I know had some real problems with brother or sister X. And I once said to them, you know, what would happen, and this is not something of pride for me, it's just was I was trying to work a problem out. I said, what would happen if something really rough happened in that person's life? Could you envision yourself going to them, shaking their hand? Maybe hugging them, maybe kissing them. Well, in my lifetime, I saw that fulfilled. And finally, the words of Jesus in the Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee," or give you, "the crown of the life." That is literally what it says in the scriptures. The crown of the life. May you all, one and all, may we all be faithful unto death.